Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Monte tried to sneak the cheese past the rat there.
And Chris Ello.
Strasburg ready to go. The 1-2 pitch slider, strike three, bold, a no-hitter.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Your clip there sounds like a brand spanking new car, and my clip sounds like a jalopy, if that even.
I think that is the...
That's the idea, right?
The equipment use right there.
I think you're right.
Major League Baseball,
and
NCAA.
A college internet line right. 10 years ago.
I think that might have something to
Strasburg
do with it.
Strasburg did that no-hitter. All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, hour number two of the program. We are rolling towards 7 o'clock tonight. Mark Ziegler will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get set for tomorrow night's San Diego State USD basketball showdown. Of course, the Big Five's coming up. Our countdown today will be in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also hear from Rocky Long, his press conference, a recap from today. You know, Rocky was very upset after the game Saturday night, Tony. We talked about this yesterday real quick about, you know, he's 8-2, and he's got people that just are not happy and not impressed, you know, that they're not winning by enough.
I listened to that part.
They're not doing stuff. And then today, I read a story online that just convinced me that you people out there are just off your rocker. Not all of you, but a good portion of you. The Penn State quarterback, his name is Clifford,
I believe.
Penn State's quarterback had to get off social media entirely because he's getting death threats. He's not just getting, hey, you didn't play very well, or hey, you stink, or hey, throw the ball to the right team. He's getting actual death threats because Penn State lost a game last week to Minnesota and fell to 9-1 and went to number 9 in the nation. And that's where I'm just having problems with all of this now, because if you're going to start, I mean, the Penn State fans, that's not just them, right? I mean, there's just nuts all over the place. I mean, what do you have to do to avoid these kinds of situations? I mean, Penn State's having a great year, and it's one of the problems with our sports society is that if you're not the champ, you're a loser. And we need to change that somehow, because the Aztecs are 8-2. And I'm going to tell you what, if they lose at Hawaii on Saturday, and that would keep them from making the Mountain West Conference championship game and drop them to 8-3, people around here are going to be really, really sour.
Yeah.
And it's going to be all over, you know, Rocky Long, and all over the offense, and well, we don't run the ball like we used to, and Ryan Agnew can't play quarterback. I mean, it's really ridiculous. These kids have had another nice year for San Diego State, but nobody cares, and nobody's given them any credit for it. So
how soon we forget.
That's right. That's what happened.
How soon we forget.
They're 8-2. This is not a bad season.
No.
Certainly, it's not a national championship season, but how are the Aztecs going to win that anyway?
Not to mention, I mean, the Aztecs could go undefeated,
and that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
So, I think that it kind of comes with the territory, and maybe you and I are making a bigger deal out of it because we just haven't been to this point at any point in San Diego State history in terms of football where
nine straight bowl games. And somehow that's not enough. But they lost to Ohio, and they lost to Louisiana Lafayette. Come on, there was a time when you would have just settled for a 500 record.
I'm old enough to remember when a bowl game was a huge ordeal.
Biggest deal ever when they had their first one in the Poinsettia Bowl against Navy.
But listen, on the flip side of that, I think it's a good thing, right? The fact that expectations can actually grow to that is a testament to the program.
That part is okay.
And that part is cool. Once you start getting to the threats and people losing jobs over 8-2 seasons...
That's when we have our problems. But Rocky Long, man, he'd had enough of it the other night. After that victory over Fresno State, he walked out of that press conference. We'll hear more from him today. Speaking of San Diego State, though, some great news for the Aztecs and Aztec Nation, and I think for all of us in San Diego, having to do with the SDSU Mission Valley site. Apparently, City Council has voted to direct City Attorney Mara Elliott to begin writing up a purchase and sale agreement for San Diego State's purchase of the 135-acre lot. That means the council voted 9-0 on this, so that's nice. You didn't have any pushback necessarily. And that means that the Aztecs plan on getting a shovel into the dirt.
2020,
March, April of 2020. And I'm just, you know, I'm excited. And it's not because I'm an Aztec. It's just because our city just needs a facelift in Mission Valley. I mean, our stadium situation needs a facelift in a big way in Mission Valley. And if this is the best we can do at this point, we could Charger Stadium. Lost them. At least we're going to get an Aztec stadium and some soccer and some events will come to town and we'll have a brand new fresh place to play and the city will look fantastic again. This is why I'm excited.
I'm excited for those very same reasons. I'm also excited of the mere fact that it was a 9-0 vote. Like,
right.
I'm so used to there being
5-4 and everybody's hates
snag somewhere. And not to say that won't come of it. I mean, anytime you're dealing with construction,
it will come
snags up. Will come up. But I'm just happy to see that it's moving as it was promised to move when it first passed.
And we voted it in.
Everything has been moving perfectly, and the fact that AD Wicker went on radio yesterday and virtually said 2020 of March is when we plan on getting. And yeah. He's and listen, it's been a long time since I've heard an official at San Diego State sound this positive when it comes to getting something done. Everybody up until the vote had been, you know, they'd been positive.
Even after the vote was over.
But they were still kind of hedging their bet a little bit. It seems like now people were feeling much much more positive about how this thing is going to move forward, and I think that's a positive.
Well, I saw J.D. Wicker at the one of the women's basketball games last week and said hello, and he said that, you know, yes, everything is moving positively forward, and they're encouraged. As I said, when I see a shovel hit the dirt, I will be encouraged myself. But this step here might be a big one in terms of actually making that happen. So, you know, and then you wonder, I mean, when they get the new stadium built, what would it be, 2022, something like that? At least for a couple of years, the Aztecs will be able to play in front of sellout crowds no matter what. Because everybody will want to go to the new stadium 100%. And it'll hold 35, 40,000 people. And if they get a home advantage, that's going to be something that they don't really have right now. I mean, you look at their team this year.
They haven't had one.
They're 8-2, both losses here.
Yep.
They don't lose on the road. I mean, I like their chances at Hawaii this weekend because then they go on the road, man, they're fantastic. When they're at home, I think that they, you know,
it's a little bit of a letdown.
It's a letdown. You run out on the stadium and you don't have the kind of support that you'd like to have. All right, we want to remind you that coming up here in the next 20, 30 minutes, we will announce today's biggest fan, and that fan will have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973, so listen for your name to be called. You can win today a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3, the Fan Night at SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint, and be entered to win our grand prize. Tony, by the way, you can go take a walk or a break. This takes about an hour to read.
I'll step away.
Yeah, take a little breath here. A Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure that you sign up out there, 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. We cannot call your name today. if you have not entered the contest. So go to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Get entered. That's all you have to do is get entered in this contest. And your name could be the one that we call later on here and within the next half hour. So be listening. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Major League Baseball has announced its finalists for the 2020 Hall of Fame ballot. Who other than Derek Jeter is on this ballot? Who other than Derek Jeter is likely to get into the Hall of Fame? Tony and I will discuss it when we come back as we roll towards 7 o'clock this evening. Big Five's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. This is San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
.419 on the dial. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. And Chris, you got something for us.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
This is breaking news from 97.3 The Fan.
97.3 The Fan, breaking news, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. The college football playoff rankings are out again for this week. LSU remains number one, as you would expect. Ohio State number two, Clemson number three. Those are the only three undefeated teams in the nation. Georgia continues to hold strong at number four. Alabama five, and then Oregon and Utah. Penn State, where they're threatening to kill the quarterback, is eighth in the nation.
Uh-oh.
Come on, people. Get with it, will you? All right, as far as the group of five or the group of six other conferences, the highest ranked team is Memphis at 18, Cincinnati 19, Boise State 20. Here's my thing, Tony, just on the college football playoff real quick. Does the injury to Tua open the door for the Oregon-Utah Pac-12 championship game winner to get into the playoff, assuming Georgia loses the SEC title game to LSU?
It should.
That was a confusing question.
No, I got what you meant.
If Georgia loses to LSU, they would probably drop out of the top four. Alabama could win out. They could beat Auburn without Tua, win out, but not play in the SEC championship game because they're in second place in their division. Would the winner of Oregon-Utah be able to jump them simply because Tua is not the quarterback? That would be the question, if the Pac-12 now has some hope, basically.
The one issue I have had with this playoff committee is that they haven't been consistent in what the main criteria are. And when I say that, they prioritize them differently each year, it seems like. Conference champions in one year was at the top of the list.
Got to win your conference championship.
Got to win. And then last year, that kind of got blown up,
right?
I believe. So it's hard to say, but I think it should. The fact that Utah and Oregon have played pretty decent schedules and they are in the top 10 and they'll have a chance to go as a one-loss team.
Whoever wins that game. Now, they got to win out before the Pac-12 championship game, of course.
Who's that, Oregon?
Oregon and Utah. They got to both win out before they play each other.
Right.
But I'm assuming that's going to happen. And if so, I would like to see the Pac-12 get represented. Now, here's the problem. Oregon's loss is to Auburn, which is maybe the fourth or fifth best team in the SEC. So
That was the first game of the season,
so that was a long time ago. But that's the argument that Alabama would have. If Alabama beats Auburn, how's Oregon going to jump ahead of them?
Yeah.
And then Georgia could take care of all of it by just beating LSU. I still think LSU would get in, and then Georgia would stay in, and that would be your Final Four that way. So, anyway, there's a lot of games still to be played, but the latest college football playoff rankings are out, and our breaking news powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
All right, let's get back to some baseball today. The MLB Hall of Fame announced its finalists. Lot of big-time names on there, some familiar names.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Do you know, I don't know if you know the answer to this, what do you have to have accomplished as a major leaguer to just get your name on the ballot? Do you know?
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not either, because I'm looking at the ballot and I'm seeing, you know, the names that you would expect to see. You know, Bonds and Clemens are there, and some of the new names and that are on the list. Some of the new names on the list, Sean Figgins? Like, really? I mean, with all due respect, and I don't know if you know Sean Figgins, but
I do.
A nice player. You know? But not a Hall of Fame candidate.
Based on this list, it looks like there's amount of service time that you would have to
Is that what it is? If you just play 10 years, you get on the ballot?
Because he's not the only one. I mean,
no.
Eric Chavez is on there, who was a terrific player.
Chavez was better than Sean Figgins.
Yeah, I don't know. Hall of Fame, though, is a different
thing. J.J. Putz. Yep. I can't see him quite going into the Hall of Fame. Jose Valverde. I mean, they got some crazy names on here. Brian Roberts. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, no, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Like how you get on the ballot in the first place. Right. I don't know.
But nevertheless, these names are on there. Some notable names that stand out. Heath Bell.
Congratulations, by the way, to Heath Bell for getting on there. I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame candidate, nor I'm sure does Heath Bell when he honestly looks at it. But it's pretty cool to see your name on the Hall of Fame ballot. I know he was on with Ben and Woods this morning talking about that. And congratulations to Heath on getting your name on the ballot. Here we are poking fun at people getting on the ballot, but I want to congratulate Heath Bell for being on the ballot.
I was just getting ready to say, same with Eric Chavez. I mean, another San Diego guy who had a terrific career. I don't think it's in debate of whether he's a Hall of Famer or not, but... that's dope to have your name on this list. At the end of the day, I think that's cool. All right, but the question is going to be, because this doesn't include the Veterans Committee, Garvey,
the one that voted in Harold Baines.
Right, you got Garvey. I believe Ted Simmons is on that as well.
People expect Simmons to finally get in
this
year.
I think he will get in. But there's some interesting names on here. I mean, Gary Sheffield is on here.
Sheffield was almost a Triple Crown winner.
Kirk Schilling is on here. Yeah. Sammy. And some of these names, it's going to depend on, you know, if writers, because it seems, though, some writers have moved on from the whole steroid era.
I believe they have.
But not enough to get the 75?
75% are needed. Bonds and Clemens were getting up into the high and mid into high 50s, I believe, last year. They're getting more and more support. There's no question in anybody's mind that Bonds and Clemens, statistically and what they accomplished on the field, are Hall of Fame players. The same would go for Sammy Sosa. It's just a matter of how much you want to hold the steroid thing against them. And they're in their eighth year on the ballot now. So they both have, I think, two more years left after this. I 8 years ago, if you'd have asked me, I'd have said, nope, they're going to hold this against Bonds forever.
I would have said the same thing.
But much like the whole situation with Myles Garrett last week, which is still fresh, and so we think Myles Garrett is this abominable monster.
right.
We're going to forget even who Myles Garrett is probably in the next 6 months. And I think that Bonds and Clemens are getting closer and closer to getting in somehow. I really do. The other guys that I'm interested in seeing are Larry Walker, who's a 5-time All-Star, MVP, 7-time Gold Glover. I mean, everything else. I mean, just incredible player. But he played half his career in Colorado, so they don't want to give him any credit for any of the numbers he put up. I think it's time for him to get into the Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter is the first ballot, and he's going to be maybe even 100%, like his teammate Rivera was last year. Who else do you see on here? Manny Ramirez?
Manny can't go on until Barry and...
You think Manny's under the cloud of the steroid thing?
Yeah, 100% is, because he actually missed time due to that.
Yeah.
So, whereas...
I mean, Barry, he's a Hall of Fame hitter.
100%.
No question.
100%. But in my mind, until Barry and Roger get in... he's going to be fighting an uphill fight.
Who else do you see on this list that you see as a Hall of Famer that's not going to fight the steroid fight?
I think
is Sheffield the best name, or
I think you got to take a
Omar Vizquel. I mean, can you get in on as a defensive shortstop?
You got to take a look at Bobby Abreu's numbers.
Bobby Abreu, really?
Got to take a look at his numbers.
I'm going to have to take a look at his numbers because I wouldn't have considered him.
As you said, I think Derek Jeter is a absolutely.
No, he'll be 100%.
No brainer.
No, that's automatic. Bobby Abreu, only a 2-time All-Star. That's the problem. Even though I think the All-Star game's overrated because it only counts for half a season. Bobby Abreu's numbers pale to Larry Walker.
Yes.
And to Todd Helton. Although Todd Helton played in Colorado, too, and that's being held against him. Andy Pettit, one of the great postseason pitchers of all time, who admitted to using steroids.
He's the only
basically.
Guy who came out.
He was the only guy that up front said, yeah, I did it. I made a mistake. I was trying to come back from injury. He had a good excuse or an excuse.
256 wins.
And so many playoff wins, too.
And I think that should be considered because there are guys who are in the Hall of Fame because of their playoff.
You should be.
Prowess.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he is one of the greatest playoff postseason pitchers of all time.
Yeah, he is. I mean, now, one of the reasons he is because he had so many chances,
touché,
which is, you know,
that
lucky.
Helps. That helps.
I mean, if you played for the Braves or the Yankees, you got to play in the playoffs every single year, whereas a lot of great players didn't get that same opportunity.
Thomas is suggesting someone. Andrew Jones.
He had a whole bunch of gold gloves. Yes, he did.
Andrew Jones is a good player. I mean, I don't know that he was a Hall of Fame player. I think he was a very good player, though.
10 gold gloves in a row?
That's the other thing about the Hall of Fame. Is the criteria changing?
Because I don't know what people look at. I mean, everybody looks at something different. That's the fun thing about it, I guess.
Because here's a guy, Scott Rowland. I mean,
Scott Rowland was a gold glove winner
every
year.
8 gold gloves, 7-time All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
Just over 2,000 hits, though.
Yeah.
2,887 RBIs, hit 316 homers.
Andrew Jones ended up at 434 home runs, but he hit during the steroid era. I mean, it sounds like he should be in there with 434 home runs.
He has that many, huh?
254 lifetime batting average, which is a little low.
But almost 500, he's close to getting. He's
hit
up
51 year. 2005, he hit 51. I think everybody hit 50 in 2005, though. It hardly counted.
That puts him in. That puts him. That puts
Andrew Jones' numbers. He's got a case.
How many gold gloves? 10?
10 in a row.
Yeah, man.
10 in a row, and he was fifth in the Rookie of the Year award balloting just before that.
How about Jeff Kent? How are we forgetting about him?
I'm forgetting about him because he's kind of a...
He wasn't the nicest guy in the world.
He's not the nicest guy in the world, almost, and that's going to hurt him in the balloting, I think, which you shouldn't do.
I watched him almost get choked out at Qualcomm by Barry Bonds in the dugout.
Jeff Kent was a different
377
animal.
Homers, 2,461 hits.
And he was a second baseman
that. And he was a second baseman.
He's one of the best second basemen.
5-time All-Star.
One of the best hitters ever to play second base, Jeff Kent. Hmm. It's difficult. It's a difficult job. Everybody looks at it a little differently. We'll talk to some voters as we get closer to the balloting process. But you can check out the 2020 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. That gives you a pretty good idea who is in. All right. Francis Keeler.
All right.
That's it. Francis Keeler. A long, long lost descendant of Wee Willie Keeler. Do you guys even know who that is?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
Wee Willie Keeler was like an all-time great hitter in the late 1800s.
Was he related to Old Hose in any way?
Old Hose Rasborn. He might have played against Old Hose Rasborn. But Francis Keeler, you are our biggest fan. Francis, you have 10 minutes to call us back, 833-288-0973. We ran down the list of prizes, including the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration and a chance for our grand prize, the Vegas getaway, all of the goodies that come with this, 833-288-0973. Francis Keeler, you are our biggest fan. Your 10 minutes to call in starts now.
The Big Five is up next, and it's no longer a glamorous role to be the Monday Night Football color analyst. We'll explain in the Big Five next. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who out there has worked in a fast food kitchen? Who has taken a drive-through order? We were just kicking that around a little bit. By the way, speaking of stuff we talk about off the air.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I'm going to ask you?
Yeah.
When is the Gwen and Chris behind the scenes podcast going to make its debut?
Because
we've been advertising that since about 1996,
yes.
I think.
We did one, and it almost broke up the show.
That's true.
Blah, blah, blah.
We were not.
So
it did almost break up the show.
We almost didn't talk to each other for like a month.
Well, Tony wasn't involved in that. It was mainly me who was mad at everyone. But the podcast, I was hoping that you guys would say that we could do it on Thursday, maybe before the show. And I have a plan.
I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. Tony's never. If Tony's not here, Chris isn't here. We're going to get this stupid thing done.
We're going to have to make a regular time for it.
And Mondays.
Stick to it. Because right now, our behind...
Upset again.
Right now, our behind-the-scenes podcast is the worst podcast in the history of podcasts.
We don't have one.
Down. We don't even have one.
Hands down, it's the worst.
Yeah. We don't even have one. I mean, yeah.
Thank you, D. Gordon.
Thanks, D. Everybody's got a podcast now, for heaven's sakes.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Joey from Lakeside's got a podcast.
It's called Pickles.
We got to get one, man.
Hey, real quick, can I get a weather report?
Wow, it is raining really hard. This is being cool here on the Entercom Empire, so if you're sitting out there.
What?
The thing that's funny is every time he says that, I look over my shoulder to see what the weather's actually like out there.
You know what's funny is I can still remember the looks on your guys' face. That was the day after the Super Bowl. Chris was making an awesome point about Todd Gurley, and I just said that in the middle of his point.
It's so scrappy.
It's still random.
It's so random.
And every time it rains, our boss comes running down the hall. He goes, make sure you get that clip ready.
Everybody wants to hear it.
I go, no, I lost the clip.
Nobody ever wants to miss that one.
But anyway, back to your podcast idea. We'll get it. Are you guys both here on Monday?
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm here.
No, I'm not.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not here Monday.
Well, we're going to have to figure it out another day.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe 2000, what's next year?
25.
25, yeah. Maybe we'll have our podcast then. Right now, though, we got a big five. I know that.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Thank you to everyone who's followed me on Twitter, at Matt Scraby, M-A-T-T-S-K-R-A.
Are you done begging for followers? Are you still doing that?
No, I might as well do it.
Oh, you might as well do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Might as well do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, please follow me, at Matt Scraby. Follow Thomas, at OddThomas71. Follow Tony, at Tony Gwynn Jr.
It's something you can do out there to make a guy feel good. And you don't really have to do anything
those social media numbers to feel
you
good about
that.
Myself,
yeah,
okay? All right. Let's go, Thomas. You know, I work with two guys that don't particularly, it's not that you guys don't care about social media, but you don't live your life around it, which is really strange.
I recommend it for everybody.
I know.
There's a reason we don't live our lives around it.
Why is that?
There's a bunch of yo-yos on there. That's why.
All right, number five. It seems that no color analyst is going to be able to settle into the role that Jon Gruden once held on Monday Night Football. Gruden was loved by a lot of viewers, and last season Jason Witten stepped in, was criticized for his analysis. Now Booger McFarland is being criticized because his commentary during Monday Night Football last night left its mark on social media during the showdown between the Chiefs and the Chargers. He drew criticism from two of the NFL's biggest playmakers, star receivers Devontae Adams of the Packers and Stephon Diggs of the Vikings. Stephon Diggs tweeted, quote, Games in this league are lost more than they're won, end quote, with Booger McFarland next to that.
That was one of Booger's
quotes. What Booger said last night. And Adams tweeted... Oh, wait, actually, sorry. I got this confused. Devontae Adams tweeted that. And then Diggs replied, quote, "They might as well let me commentate," end quote. Which I found it kind of weird that these two guys are going at Booger during the season, because he's going to be calling maybe one of their games later in the year. But Chris, what are your thoughts on Booger McFarland's analysis? I will say, in defense of Booger, I don't think he's as bad as everyone says he is. But Chris, honestly, we're not talking about Joe Tessitore.
No, I know. Okay, I'm not going to talk about Joe Tessitore here.
What? All right, someone write that down.
Showtime!
Joe Testicles. No, I'm not going to talk about him. But it's because of him that I can't answer the question. You guys, God, don't know.
Why did you have to do that while I was taking a drink of water? I'm not kidding, that came out my nose.
But it's because of him that I cannot answer your question.
Showtime!
Because I don't listen to the Monday Night Football broadcast. I turn the sound down almost all the way to where there's just a light buzz so I can kind of hear some crowd noise. I don't hear anything that Booger McFarland says.
So you're watching football in silence?
Almost.
That is weird
It's not. I really dislike the play-by-play guy that much.
And,
I mean, every time somebody gains four. Look at Patrick Mahomes!
We're not talking about Joe Tessitore!
Oh, that's right. Sorry. But I'm just saying, because of him, I can't listen to Booger McFarland, so I can't give you an answer.
That is so crisp,
yes,
right there.
Is.
Like, he is just so far gone from Joe Tessitore. I can't even say
now
it
now. You can't say it.
Joe Tessitore.
Just say that what I
no,
call them,
don't
it'll
say
be
that.
Easier.
To answer your question, I agree with you, Scrape. I don't think Booger's that bad. He does say some really obvious things from time to time.
So does everyone else.
Can you let me finish
my
point?
I don't know why I'm so upset
so
about
Booger. So does everybody else. I think the fact of the matter is John Gruden was going to be hard to replace. You just don't find too many dudes that love football as much as he does. I mean, you can see it even as he's coaching on the sideline. He gives you all the scowls you need. He's just a good character for it. And it was perfect for Monday Night Football. I don't think Booger's that bad. I'm sure it's complicated by Joe's play-by-play.
He does, if we're going to talk about Joe Tessitore, he does make everything so
excited,
dramatic.
Right.
Showtime!
So dramatic.
Chris is 100% right on a 4-yard run. It would seem like he broke out for 80.
Melvin Gordon looks like he's never ran that hard in his entire life. A 4-yard gain in the first quarter.
Second and 6.
Before Chris gets going, we should move on. And I just want to say thank you to Jerry Fullington for following me on Twitter.
All right,
thank you, Jerry.
Number 4.
The Miami Dolphins waived running back Mark Walton after he was arrested this morning on a charge of aggravated battery of a pregnant woman. According to a police document released to ESPN, Walton is accused of pushing the woman into a wall and punching her several times in her face and head. The woman is 5 weeks pregnant, and Walton is the father. She told officers that she had told Walton about the pregnancy on Sunday, and the alleged aggravated battery occurred at 4:15 this morning in Davie, Florida, after an argument. Walton is 22, and he's going through 2 games of his 4-game league suspension for violating the NFL conduct and substance abuse policy relating to his 3 offseason arrests. Between January and March, Walton was, already said that. He was released by the Bengals after those arrests, and the Dolphins signed him in May. So, Tony, are we headed towards a zero-tolerance policy for domestic violence in the NFL? No, I'm saying, if you are convicted of domestic violence, should you be allowed to play in the NFL?
I don't know. I don't know if that's, if I'm qualified to answer that question. I think we certainly should be moving towards that, especially as this continues to go on.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say that, but I'm not going to say that.
Self-edit.
Yeah, I had to self-edit right there. It's just ridiculous, man. I mean, that's so egregious. He shouldn't be allowed back. And I very, very, very rarely
you're right, you do.
Go along those lines. But what in God's name would provoke you to punch a pregnant woman in the face and stomach?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Chris?
I'm embarrassed for the Dolphins. Like, they signed this guy after
three arrests in a 3 month span.
I mean, come on. What are you thinking about? So that's one thing. The other thing is we should be at a zero tolerance policy for domestic violence. Unfortunately, in this world, you are innocent until proven guilty, or at least in the world we live in. And so every time...
Sometimes.
Right. Yeah, you're right. In the court of public opinion, it's different. But my point here is that if you are accused of domestic violence and it's one of those situations where you honestly didn't do anything, it could besmirch your name forever, and you shouldn't be kicked out of the league until there's some evidence to back up those claims. You have to be a little careful before you just kick everybody out of the league who's attached to domestic violence. But certainly on the surface, Scrabe, yeah, I mean, this guy should be nowhere near the NFL anymore.
This one sounds like it's because of the arrest prior to him becoming a Dolphin.
Yes.
The three arrests that I think I'm almost sure one of them at least was of the domestic violence variety. Yeah, man, like these cats shouldn't be allowed. You can't control yourself enough not to put your hands on a woman. I think it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
Only reason why I said I'm not qualified is because of those same things Chris just brought up. A lot of times these accusations come out and we don't know if it's true or not. We don't have the evidence to back it up. In this case, it doesn't sound like that is the case in this case.
Yes. Thank you to MWood2121 and Christy for following me on Twitter.
Is this how easy it is? You just beg for followers and they just start coming along?
Yeah. No. I appreciate everyone.
I'm sure you do.
Mikey Mike 617 though. He said it's the cool thing to not like or hate on Booger McFarland. Not sure what he's ever done to get on anybody's nerve.
I agree.
I think he's followed John Gruden.
He's either sitting next to Joe. One of the two.
Yeah.
New general manager of the San Francisco Giants, Farhan Zaidi, made comments in the past about wanting to change the dimensions of their home field, Oracle Park. Well, construction is underway. The end goal is to relocate the bullpens and eventually move the outfield walls in. And Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area reports, the Giants are still figuring out some of the exact details, but they know the bullpens will be side by side in center and right center. The center field kale garden will remain, although it sounds like there will be some changes to the dimensions out there because the center field wall is coming in about 6 feet, which should please hitters that are lefties. The farthest point in the park is 421 feet in Triples Alley and will actually be around 410 feet when the construction is done, the Giants think. So, Chris, do you think these changes were needed to Oracle Park?
Yes and no. When I watch a game in San Francisco, I think it's a little unfair to hitters. It's not necessarily because of the distance, but it's the height. I mean, you've got to hit the ball. Like, how high is that thing in right center field?
At least 25 feet.
It's way up there. So you've really got to hammer a ball. You don't see too many opposite field home runs in San Francisco, do you, Tony? I mean, a right-handed hitter taking one out over the right. Now, I know Bonds could clear the wall and put it in the water all the time, and there are many left-handed guys who can pull it over that wall, but you don't ever see a right-handed hitter hit an opposite field home run in San Francisco. So I think the dimensions are...
I think I saw Manny go there deep last year, and it hit like the green part. And like
Machado got one?
Yeah. I think it was one of his first ones.
Bounced off the line.
Yeah.
It's not tough.
Easy.
It's so tough. But on the other hand, you know what? I don't mind sometimes the fact that there's one ballpark out there where it's not easy to hit a home run. You know, they have a lot of triples. There's some crazy bounces, a lot of fun plays in San Francisco. So that's the neat thing about baseball. Or one of the neat thing is every basketball court is the exact same. Every football field is the exact same. Same with the hockey rinks. But not every baseball stadium's dimensions are the same. And so San Francisco sticks out for that reason. So that's why I'm a little hedging here.
Tony, you've played in this park.
Yes.
Have you played in right field?
Yes. Right field's not the problem. And I'm not even 100% sure. Yes, there'd probably be a few more home runs if you move that 421 into 410. There'd probably be a lot more. But it's still San Francisco. The ball, it's heavy. That air is heavy at night. Ball just doesn't travel there well there. So I'm sure this will help, but would the Padres move from, like, the bottom to, like, just barely in the middle, right? That's what kind of – that's what your San Francisco, I'm sure, is looking at, just to get to the middle. Because I'm sure that's probably one of the toughest parks to hit homers in.
So, I would think so. I don't have – again, Scraby, you've asked a question without backing it up with any support, so I don't know.
What do you mean?
Well, is San Francisco the hardest park to hit a home run in? Do we know this for a fact?
No, I don't.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you to Scott Swan, Chris Chino Padres, Rip Bobberts, and Kevin Hoffman for following me on Twitter. This has been a good segment for me. Let's go to the last one. Let's go to number one. Let's go to number one.
Okay.
Darn. Browns defensive lineman Richardson, however, he decided to weigh in on Thursday night's fight between the Steelers and the Browns, and he said that Rudolph should be disciplined by the league for his role in the fight, and there have been reports by Jason Lockefort that the NFL is going to punish Mason Rudolph, but it hasn't come down yet. As we know, Rudolph and Miles Garrett engaged in a heated altercation before Garrett hit Rudolph in the head with Rudolph's helmet. Richardson said via USA Today that Rudolph, quote, can't antagonize a fight and then claim bullying. You get what's coming to you. He was protecting himself. I don't blame him. Guy keeps rushing me. Even with the helmet off, he's asking for it. Just leave it at that, end quote. Chris, or Tony, actually, how does the NFL keep this under control when the Browns and Steelers play in a few weeks?
Just to answer those questions real quick to back up Scraby's question.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oracle Park is the toughest.
Okay.
0.691 homers.
Per game.
Thank you. Kaufman, followed by Marlins. Petco is 23 on the list. So they're still at the bottom of the pack.
Still down near the bottom. But that's see, that research really wasn't that tough to do, Scraby. See?
Sorry?
Which is the one weird thing about it, and I don't know if this has to do with the baseball or what, because Dodger Stadium has always been one of the toughest parks, too. They were ninth. In home runs per
Who,
game.
Where are the most? Is it automatically Coors Field, or is there somebody ahead of them?
No, there's two teams ahead of them.
Really?
Rogers Center in Toronto, which makes sense, and Nationals Park.
Nationals Park had more home runs than Coors Field? That would surprise a lot
Just
of people.
Just barely. 1.267, 1.266.
So. That would still surprise a lot of people.
Yeah.
All right, now we got to answer Scraby's question about Joe Testicles.
Thomas. Thank you to King Rob 619 for the follow.
I think look real quick on the Mason Rudolph thing. I think we already went over this when it happened. I think both Tony and I think that Mason Rudolph should have been suspended.
Yep.
And
no
I
doubt.
Think the NFL will get it right once they do hand him a suspension, because his role in that melee was definitely a big part of it.
You at least got to tap his pockets a little bit.
They did. I think they tapped his pockets, but I don't think they suspended him.
Thank you to Steven Strauss for the follow.
Stop following Scraby.
No, this has been like maybe the best segment of my life for my Twitter.
5 o'clock hour. Let's all out there agree not to follow Scraby in the next hour. Mark Ziegler will join us from the Union Tribune to talk about the Aztecs and Toreros. City Basketball Championship. That's coming up shortly. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.